Sure, we'll do. Actually, we can make Gemara Shabbos.
Thanks.
Just going to a passage of a quote from the Sefer called Enaya. Ever learned a bit of Enaya? A bit. Okay.
No problem.
Enaya. Right. Enaya is just the word to show about the name of the Sefer. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Just a word or two about the name of the Sefer. Rav Kook's full name was Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen. Okay? Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen, which is the abbreviation of Ayah. Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen, Aleph Yud Hey. What's Ein Ayah? Well, if you take a look on the shelves there, you'll find a set of Sfarim called Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is a set of Sfarim which really... today it's not so popular, even though it has a comeback a bit in the past few years. Balabatim Yisibitin and Chamar, people used to be called the Eitim Torah. Halacha learning wasn't so intense and everything. You know, people come to hard days' work. If you work physical work, it's even harder. You know, you're tired and that. Nobody has a head now to start learning Bava Metzia or Makot or even Sukkah. So what do? Yisibitin and Chamar, if you have somebody to give a shir, you learn Agadot HaShas. You learn the stories, the Machshava, get something for your. For your neshama, something to learn like at the end of a hard day's work. And so the Ein Yaakov was put together, I don't know exactly when, but probably over 100 years ago. Someone took all the agadot, just took out all the halachas, took out all the work, and left us with all the fun. Okay? Put in all the agadot shas into a safer, into a set of sfar. Wherever you find it. Set of sfar called, and he called it Ein Yaakov. I guess his name was Yaakov, or something. He called it Ein Yaakov. So I know. And what Rav Kook did was, Rav Kook lived about 100 years ago, and what he did is he had his own thoughts, his own interpretations of these Agadot HaShas, and he wrote his interpretation, his commentary. I wouldn't say really commentary, because really more an interpretation, because he's not trying to tell us what the pshat of what Chazal wanted to tell us, but rather give us his own thoughts based on the Agadot of Chazal that appear in the Gemara. And he called it Ein Ayah. So Ein comes from Ein Yaakov, and Ayah is called Ein Yaakov. Called Ein Ayah, which is really an abbreviation of his name of Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen. But there's also another play on words here, because within Parashat Re'eh, the Torah gives us the name of all the birds. And those who don't usually study with me. I'm an English-speaking Israeli, so my English is a bit slower than the average American. Okay. Excuse me. Thank you.
Give Sharon.
Yeah, for you maybe. I can give Sharon here.
You talk pretty fast.
Okay. Good. Okay. Thank you. Take it as a compliment. So, what's Ein Ayah? In Parashat Re'eh, the Torah mentions the birds which are unclean, which are tamei. Okay, and the Torah says v'tara'a, v'taya, v'tadaya lemina. One of the tamei birds is called ayah. And Rashi says that ra'a, ayah, and daya is all the same bird. It's three names for the same bird. Ra'a, ayah, and daya. So Chazal say in the Gemara Chulin, why is it called ra'a? What does ra'a mean?
To see.
To see, right? Ra'a, li'ot, right? To see. So what is... it's okay. So the ayah, ra'a, ayah, and ayah is all the same birds. The Gemara Chulin says, why is the bird called ra'a? Because it has tremendous sight. It has an amazing sight. The Gemara says it can stand in Babel, okay, in Babylon, and see a nevela, the Eretz Yisrael. The birds are birds that eat, like, take. Prey, eat animals or what? They eat dead animals. So the bird has such sharp eyes that, you know, there's birds that can fly very high. They can see kilometers in distance. They can see corpses of animals and things that they want to eat. The Gemara says it sees so well that Omed Bevavel Vera Nevela Be'eretz Yisrael. It has amazing. It see for kilometers and kilometers has a sight. So the eye of the ayah is an amazing thing. It has. You have foresight or a tremendous sight, and that is the play on words that actually Rav Kook did it with the name of his sefer. He took Ein from Ein Yaakov, Ayah is his name, Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen, and he called it together Ein Ayah, implying that it has, there's a lot of insight in the sefer, because it's like the eye of the Ayah, which was also called Ra'ah, which sees very well. just in parentheses, I once heard a tremendous word from, well, you've probably heard it from me already, that one, from a cousin of my father, who used to be a big Magachir in England. He died some 18, 19 years ago. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein was his name. I don't know if you ever heard that name, but he was originally Irish like me. He was a tremendous Magachir. He used to have give a shir in London once a week, and there would be hundreds of people standing room only in the shir. He said once said a tremendous word. If this bird sees so well, it can stand in Bavel and see a nevela be'eret Yisrael, so why is it tameh? It's a great quality to be able to see so well. Why is it tameh? Why are we not allowed to eat it? So he said, you know, there are a lot of people in Chutz La'aretz that they like to sit in Chutz La'aretz and they see all the nevelot in Eretz Yisrael. They know how to criticize everything that's going on in Eretz Yisrael. That is a very bad trait. If you want to criticize, come and live in Eretz Yisrael. We'll hear your opinions, whatever you like. But don't be a person who's, there's a million nevelot around you, there's a million corrupt things and bad things going around you, and you're only looking, in Eretz Yisrael, there they're doing bad things. That is something that we don't want to, that is a trait we don't want to take to ourselves. So even if we have to live in Chutz La'aretz, we don't want to be criticizing others all the time. Rather, look what we can do better in our surroundings rather than criticize others all the time. Anyway, so just that's just for 5 minutes about the name of the Sefer, Enayah. But so what Enayah does is, as we said, he takes Agadot of Chazal, he takes stories that appear in the Gemara, and Rav Kook gives his interpretation for the Agadot. So the famous story about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm not going to go into the whole story, I'm sure you know the basics of it. It's mentioned in the Gemara, Perek Sheni, and the end of Perek Bamei Madlikin, and Daf Lamed Gimel in the Gemara. As you see, like on your page, the bold print is the Gemara. The Rashi type is Rashi, obviously, and under that is Enayah, is Rav Kook's interpretation and ideas. The story tells about, as we know, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son sat in the Me'ara, in the cave they hid from the Romans after he said that they're doing bad things. We're talking after the Bar Kokhba revolt. He hid from the Romans, and we're sitting 12 years in a cave. Okay, what happens? We have 12 years in a cave. What happened immediately when he came out, says the Gemara? Anyway?
Same on fire.
Yeah, right, Nahon. So he saw. I'm going to read the Gemara. It's not appear. It doesn't appear in your page. It's just like one line of Gemara. And every page wasn't going to photocopy 5 pages only for the Gemara. So, and maybe as well to give you, is that part of the course the Gemara?
No, not for me. I mean, I will be giving a little section of this.
Okay, Masedo. So anyway, so the Gemara tells them, you'll just orally, I'll just read it. Nafku chazi inshe de kakar vivezari. They came out of the Me'ara, they saw people plowing and sowing seeds and whatever and harvesting their. Hey, what's going on? Amar minichim chay olam loskim chay sha. What? Now, after 12 years of time, they said, what? These people, they have time for shtuyot. They have time to go and do business and make money and this. What are you crazy? You sit and learn Torah. Buy your place in Olam Haba, invest in spiritual things. What are you doing? Couldn't believe it. So what happened? Anything they looked at immediately went on fire, because it's the clash between their Torah world, 12 years dealing only with spirit, only davening and learning, and coming from such a spiritual place, and just meeting such a clash with all the worldly things and all the materialistic things that are going on. The clash was so strong. Chazal say everything they looked at just started burning, because how does fire originate, right? If you know just basic physics, there's a clash between two things creates heat, right? Creates heat. So it's the heat, the fire is just resembles the clash. Clash is the right word. Yeah, between these two worlds of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Elazar, with the meeting with the world. Yatzta bat kol ve'amra lahem. So the bat kol comes to Shemaim, like because Rav Kivichon speaks to him and says, "What are you going? You want to ruin my world? Get back into your Me'ara. You may as well stay there. If you're going to come out and just ruin everything, start refuting at everything, start saying nothing's good, this whole world isn't worth anything, so you may as well go back to Chizru Le'Me'aratchem." Vadu Azul, they sat there another year. Itivu Treisei Achishata, they sat there for 12 months. Amun Mishpat Hashem Geinom Yudet Chodesh. Anyway, after 12 months, Bat Kol says, "You can go out, it's okay. Now I allow you to try again to go out for a Me'ara." And the story tells, Rab Lazar Haramasi Rab Shimon. Rab Lazar still didn't manage to fix himself, and he was still ruining things, and Rab Shimon Bar Yochai's father was fixing it up. He was already ready to meet with the world. After that, it's enough for the world. It's enough if we learn Torah. Rashi says it's enough. We can allow other people to do what they're doing. And this is now we're starting the story. If you're on page 207, okay, look at the Gemara, the last line of the Gemara, like at the top of the page. Behadi panya demali shavta. Okay, this is the story I want to focus on, and we'll try and learn a bit of Rav Kook's interpretation of this part of the story. So the Gemara says behadi. You got it? Behadi panya de mali shabbat, just as Shabbos was coming in, it was Erev Shabbat, mali shabbat, Shabbos is coming in, it's Erev Shabbos, the time we usually say Kabbalat Shabbat, somewhere between the Shkia and Tzedek Kochavim, it's Ben HaShmashot, it's kind of, you know, just switching of the time, switching of the day. Chazuo Saba, Saba, what's a Saba?
Old man.
If they want a Saba, that's what we call the grandfather, an old man, because. Said Chazi O Saba, Daven Akit Trei Vedani Asa Veraid Ben Hashmashot. He saw this old man running. Okay, an old man usually doesn't run, but Erev Shabbos you're allowed to run. Even Rishut Rabbi, you're allowed to exceed the speed limit on Erev Shabbos. That's the Gemara says in Baba Kama. He was running with two leaves or hadasim. Yeah, two hadasim, like two branches. Okay, branches of hadas. Okay, and he's running. So Rav Shimon says to him, "Amali, hani namalach? What is this for? You know, mele you bring some tulips or some roses. What's going on with hadasim? Amalu lichvot Shabbat. It's for Shabbos. Okay, it's lichvot Shabbat. I want to have you know a nice smell in my house for Shabbos or whatever it is." So he says, okay, what do you need two? Tiskilach dechad. Okay, well, why do you need two hadassim? You know, enough of one is enough. It gives a nice fragrance. Nice odor is also positive, or odor is bad?
Odor is negative.
Odor is negative, and fragrance is positive. Okay, we said, thank you.
You could
say
good odor.
You could?
Not usually.
Usually it's just a negative context? Yeah, okay, fragrance. Fragrance is okay? Said it. Okay, we'll pass for fragrance. Said it. Tisgilach bechad, is one not enough? So he answered him, Chad keneged zacho, v'chad keneged shamo. I have two, just like you have two challahs. Why do you have two challahs? Lechem Mishnah. Yeah, but also one of the Ramazim is a Chol v'Shamo, also two candles, right? We light candles there of Shabbos before Shabbos comes in. Just this purpose to have light in the house. Why do we have dafka two? You know, Zachol and Shamo. Okay, Chad Kenei Zachol, Chad Kenei Get Shamo. Right in the first Aseret Hadibrot in Parshat Yitro, it says Zachol Yom Shabbat Mikatzol in Parshat VeEtchanan. In the second Aseret Hadibrot, I mean it's the same one, but it's mentioned the second time it's mentioned in Torah. It says Shamo, and as you know, because Rabbi said both of them at the same time, Zachol v'Shamo b'Dibur. Right? The Dibur Chav is broken out into two words at the same time, which you can't really understand how it happened, but that's what it is. Zachol v'Shamo. So, and that's why I have two Adasim, one for Zachol, one for Shamo. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was so enthusiastic, so overwhelmed with the thing. Wow, he said, Amali Lebre, he said to his son Rab Lazar, he said to him, Chazi kama chavivim mitzvot al Yisrael. He says, wow, look how Am Yisrael loves the mitzvot. They take Hadasim for Shabbat, the Yativ Da'atai. And they became calm, they became relaxed, they realized that the clash is not so big between their world, their Torah world, and what other people are doing, and they managed to actually reconcile, let's say, with the worldly living that they had such a problem with 12 months before that. Okay, so this is the story, and the side that we can understand, in Pshat, he saw how people love the Shabbos, right? They run and get, you know, you run and get nice flowers or something extra. It's a chavivut. It shows how much you love the mitzvot. And it's a great thing. But Rav Kook wants to give us a deeper understanding of what really, why did Chazal give us this story exactly? I mean, I don't know exactly what historically happened there. Chazal tells Dafka the mitzvah Shabbat, Dafka Hadassim, an old man running Ben HaShemashot. What is all the significance? What is what dafka in this thing made Rav Shimon and Rav Elazar, what made them calm down, what made them relaxed about what's going on in the world, why before there was such a clash, and now that they saw two hadas, person running with two hadasim Erev Shabbos, that suddenly made them calm. We're trying to get to a deeper level of Divrei Chazal. And as Rambam says in his introduction to Moreh Nevuchim, the Agadot of Chazal, this is the assumption of Kuk, are Tepuchei Zahav B'maskiot Kesef. I don't know if it's a good translation, but if I translate literally, it's a gold apple with a silver net around it. It means when you look from far, what are you going to see? If something is wrapped like with a close net, like what are you going to see? Only the external part, right? You only see the thing that's wrapping it. But when you look close, if you take a closer look, right, you'll be able to see the gold that's inside. So, says the Rambam, the Agadot of Chazal are, you can read them on different levels. Okay, you can learn them on different levels. They could be, you can, if you look externally for the simple man, they'll look like Maskiot Kesef. It looks like silver, it looks nice, it's a good story, there's a moral, there's something to chat. But if you not look closer, you look deeper, you can see the gold that's behind you. You can get even much more out of the same thing. So there's, it could be a few levels of learning the same text and learning the same story. And let's try, and Rav Kook is going to take us with, let's try and get in 20 minutes, take us for a journey into this lichor very, very simple story. And what Rav Kook usually does in Ein Hayah, first of all, he presents the idea, okay, his ideas, and then he tries to fit them in. He explains how they relate to the story, how really he got to those ideas from the story in the Gemara, or from the Gemara. So first he presents his idea. So let's take a look. What we're learning is Sif Reisha in Chet. It's the bottom of page 207. Okay, you see like mamash towards the end of the page, the left bottom, left hand side, Reisha in Chet. So the bold print is again a quote in the Gemara. I'm not going to read it again. We're two lines from the end where it's a finer print. Okay, Kedushat HaShabbat. The words, two lines from the end. Tells us, Rav Kook starts with explaining the duality of the Kedusha of Shabbat. Zachor and Shamor is not just two words that came out. Zachor and Shamor are practically two mitzvot. One is a negative mitzvah. Shamor on Shabbat means don't do the things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Zachor and Shamor, what is the mitzvah of Zachor and Yom Shabbat, by the way? What mitzvah did we learn from there? What?
Kiddush.
Kiddush on Friday night, at least, is a mitzvah d'oraita, and it's learned from the Zachor and Yom Shabbat Kedusha. That is at least the way the Rambam learns it, and the Gemara brings it in Masechet Pesachim. So, Rav Kook, Kedushat Shabbat yesh shnayim bekocha. Kedushat Shabbat has two powers and could enhance us in two ways. It has two different ways. Haichad, mashi mekadeshet u'ma'ala et Yisrael. Another introduction from Rav Kook. Whoever never did Rav Kook. Rav Kook sometimes has long sentences, okay, and you have to take a deep breath. Okay, when you read the text, wait till the end of the sentence and then we'll explain it. So if I read like two lines and didn't get it yet, okay, two, three, or four lines and I didn't get it yet, lo noah, okay, and we'll explain it right after. So I just don't want to explain every two words and we won't get the context. So, Kedushat HaShabbat yesh shnayim bekocha. Ha'echad, ma shehi mekadeshet u'ma'ala et Yisrael bekedushata ha'elyona, u'meramemet otam, be'etzem kedushat ha'yom lemala mikol inyanei achol. Kedushat HaShabbat has two powers. The first power is the power to elevate us, okay? To take us away. Yeah, all the week we're in the worldly things, materialistic things. Shabbat takes us to a different level. Kedusha Elyona, Meromemet, it takes us way past. We deal with spiritual things. Longer davening, singing, zmiras, our meals are totally different, our learning is different, the whole atmosphere, it's all like put aside, no iPhones, no cell phone, we can't even text during davening. No, you should never text during davening. But, never do that. But, you can't even do that. You know, at least those who do can appreciate that. That was a good, was that perfect? Yeah. Perfect timing. It takes us, it doesn't happen during your Shiur and Shabbos, right? It takes us away from everything. When you'll be working, okay? When you'll be working, you'll learn to appreciate it even more. You can't receive a phone call. You're way past all these things. Just deal with spiritual. Now you're in a spiritual world all week, okay, generally. But when you really it. You have to, when you have a real life, I'm saying a real life meaning a practical life, and now you have to take advantage. You have all the time in the world, you can make every day Shabbos. This is the time. Every day is Shabbos for you guys. You have all the time in the world to elevate yourself spiritually all the time. It's not going to be for long, and this is, the more you take in, the harder you're going to get. But anyway, okay, you're going to have to make money, you have to have a job, you have to study, whatever, secular study, some stage earlier or later, and take Shabbos as a day you can focus only on it. So that's one power of the Shabbos. It takes us away from all the little petty, worldly, materialistic things. It takes us up to Kedusha. Chutz mizeh, second line, towards the end, from the top, second line, to page 108. Chutz mizeh, the second power of Shabbos, he mamshechet gamken et koch kol yemei aseh im kol chilonutam v'shiflutam shal yedei shem nizkarim b'kedushat ha-shabbat hina mitromimim. It has a power to have an effect also on the rest of the week, meaning it could elevate also, give us something to look up to on and during the week. When you're down, so in general, so what gives you power? What gives you strength? If you have something to look for, you have something. You have a vision. You have something to live for. You have something, some light at the end of the tunnel. Okay. Ever read? I told my guys, I think, about Viktor Frankl's. I say, man searches for, what do they call it?
Search for meaning.
Man searches for meaning. His study, his psychoanalysis. His study showed that people who survived the Shoah, mostly, were people who had something to live for. It could be a member of family, an idea, something to look at. You're in the darkest time, you have something to elevate you, something to take you out of it, something to have in your mind that pulls you through. So Shabbos has the power of the day itself being elevated on the day of Shabbos to other places where we're not usually, but it has also the power to take it on into the week, that even when we're done, you know, the boss is this and that, I have to deal with us, okay, let's buy things in the shop, I'm have to work, and sometimes I have to do computer programming. This isn't my piece of, this is my cup of tea, it's not the thing I really love to do. I deal with a lot of things, it's not really, not touching my neshama, but I, zachor et yom shabbat, I can remember Shabbat, I know what I'm living for, and remember that spirituality of the day of Shabbat, and that keeps me going. It has the ability to elevate my week. So I'll read the sentence again. We read from the second line. Chutz mizeh. So aside from Shabbat itself being an elevating day, he mamshechet gamken et kol kochan yimase. It takes the whole power of the weekdays. Im kol chilonutam v'shiflutam, with all their secular, like chilonut, like with the chol, right? With the how do you say chol?
Mundane.
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 Ooh, that's a sophisticated word. Okay, whatever you say.
Mundane.
It's the opposite of Kedusha, mundane? Okay. All the mundane days, that's what you say?
Regular.
Okay. So, v'shiflutam, their lowness, sh'alideishim nizkarim b'kedushat ha-shabbat, and you remember the Kedushat ha-shabbat during these days, hinam mitromim. These days themselves could be elevated. Okay, so Shabbat has an essence of itself, has the ability to elevate also the rest of the days of the week. Uve'ein hakara muchashit, הנפש הישראלית מרוממת עצמה אפילו בימי החול מפני זכר של יום השבת. Even if there's nothing to hold on to, remembering something is something that's a bit abstract. Yeah, but even the zechir, you know, putting something in your mind elevates where you are. And that turns, ובזן, the result of it is sixth line, אין דברי החול שפלים כל כך כמו שהם נראים בחצוניות שלהם. So you notice that the weekdays are not so low, they're not so down. Yes, they're bringing us towards a certain purpose. They have some meaning in them. כי הם הולכים ומתעלים בקדושת השבת. קדושת השבת has the ability to elevate the weekdays also. They have put some meaning into them, also into all my work, what I'm doing in my life. ואף על פי, even though, שרוב הזמן אינם עסוקים בעבודת החול, מכל מקום, כל כך הקדושה קרובה היא הליבם, אשר תכלית העליונה שבחיים מונחת עמוק בתוך הלב, שנעוצה דווקא בהקדושה. When I have my purpose of life, it's a bit of a complicated sentence, but even though, what Rav Kook is trying to say here, I would say a Hasidic idea, what Hasidut developed a lot, is that we're not looking dafka for quantity, but rather for quality. You notice, okay, the Shabbat has the ability to bring us to the recognition that even though we may be actually investing technically, most of our time in mundane things, whatever, in low things, in work, and all kinds of things that aren't bringing us to high spiritual levels. But our real essence, our real center of our life, what really gives us our koach, is the kedusha, is our neshama, is that internal thing that we get on Shabbat. Yeah? And that brings us through the week also, it brings us to understand that our life is worth much more than just making the money and working and creating another computer program, opening another business, or whatever, putting up another website on the net. Okay, that's התכלית העליונה שבחיים מונחת עמוק בתוך הלב. It's deep in our heart. She נעוצה דווקא בקשר. It's deep in our heart, holding on. נעוצה fast, steadfast, held and connected with קדושה. וכפי הרוממות, and this is very important for us, כפי הרוממות של קרבת, גילוי קרבת אלוקים ברוך הוא בנפש, שכמידת הטוב והצדק ויתר דרכי השם דבר שנדבקים בה, על פי המבט הזה יש להשקיף על חיי השעה ועל העוסקים בה בעין של קורת רוח. Now we're going back to our story a bit. What has this all got to do with the story of seeing a person working, going to Shabbat? What is Kirvat Elokim? We talk about being close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sure you've heard that term a lot during this year. Yeshiva being close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Dveikus, something like that. What is all these things? What is Kirvat Elokim? What is it? It's abstract. I don't know what it means. What is it, close to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Kadosh Baruch Hu is abstract, spiritual. What am I getting close? When am I going to, if I go flying on a spaceship, I'll get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean to be close to Hashem? Something that really, as a word, as a term, it doesn't mean anything. Rav Kook here gives at least one elaboration of what it means. Let's read that sentence again. When we discover or uncover kirvat elokim in our nefesh. What is to uncover kirvat elokim? We're all close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have a neshama. Kadosh Baruch Hu elokai neshama shenatata bi torai. Right? We have a neshama that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and that is our closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do we uncover that? What does it mean to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu? He says, shehi. It's a very interesting thing. It's not the Torah you learn. It's not the davening. The davening is things that may help you, but mainly, very interesting, he says, shekimidat hatov ve'atzedek v'yeter d'orchei Hashem yitbarach nidbakim. But the more you're a moral person, the more you're a good person, you're a righteous person, that makes you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say, right? Says the Dov Kabo, you have to stick. Yeah, Devik. What's Devik? Stick together, nachon? To stick to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say, could we? How can we do that? It's impossible, nachon? So what does Chazal say? Mahu rachum, afata rachum. Mahu chanun afata. He's compassionate. You should be compassionate. He's has mercy. You should have mercy. Chazal didn't say Kadosh Baruch Hu does justice. He also, they could have said that. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge, I'll take revenge. No. The higher moral and righteousness level you get to, that's your closest to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Being like Kadosh Baruch Hu, acquiring the traits, kivyachol, of Kadosh Baruch Hu's behavior, you can say it that way, in a simplistic way, that is being close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is Kirvat Elokim. The more we uncover that, the tov, the tzedek, the yosher, the more the closer we are to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, if we take this outlook, al pi ha-mabat hazeh, if this is our perspective on life, yesh la'ashkif al chayei ha-sha'a va'oskim bahem ba'ein shel kirvat ruach. If we see people, and everywhere they go, in anything you encounter in life, it's your business, it's your anything materialistic, you go to cheder ochel to eat lunch, your work, what guides you? Righteousness, morals, bachum, v'chanun. And you take the traits of Kadosh Baruch Hu and apply them everywhere you go. With that perspective, you can see how you can uncover Kadosh Baruch Hu in any step you take in life. It's not only when you open a gemara or davening. It's anywhere you go. You can uncover kirvat Elokim and be close to Hashem. we understand that. And then Shimon Bar Yochai and Elazar understand that. So we can reconcile between Kirvat Elokim, being so close. They were davening and learning all the time in the Me'ara. When they went out to the world, everything was burning at the clash. No. But we want to take a perspective that we can take Kirvat Elokim and apply it to anything in the world. That is something that we can live with. Rav Shimon Rabbi Lazar could as the Gemara says, Yativ Da'atayu, could be relaxed and find a way to live with the world, because they see that Kedusha could live with the world. It doesn't have to be a clash. It could live together. How does this fit in? That is the idea, okay, that Rav Kook is trying to present here. And this is the power of Shabbat. Shabbat has a power in itself of taking us, elevating us, like Rav Shimon did in the Me'ara. Be away from everything. Take us away from the world. That's one thing. It's good for one day out of 7. 6 days, what do you do? I would say it's Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. We have the remembrance of Shabbat that really we can find how Shabbat, how Kirvat Elokim, how this elevation of Shabbat, we can find it everywhere we go in this world. That is it's not a compromise. It's like you create a new molecule, a new thing it's a win-win situation. You take the world and you elevate it with applying Tov, Vitzedek, the Yosher, and Kirvat Elokim in anything you do. That is the moral of this story. How does it fit in? What is it? Well, just take a few minutes as Rav Kook tries to apply this idea into the details, the minor details of this amazing story that appears in the Gemara. So let's take a look. So, Bein Hashmashot, you have that? Like it's about 3, 6, 9, 12, 14 lines done. Bein Hashmashot is a bit bold print, right? Now we're fitting in. What's Bein Hashmashot? Bein Hashmashot is the time of. Has there been like the time of between day and night? Okay, Bein Hashmashot is it could be usually it's towards the evening. It's after the Shkia. We don't see the sun already. Safek Yom, Safek Laila, or maybe just a bit of both. Okay, Bein Hashmashot Hu Ma'avar. It's the passageway. Shebein Avar LeAtid. It's bringing us between the past, between the previous day, and it's bring us into the future, into the next day. It's a kind of maybe a vacuum in a way. It's kind of a time tunnel that brings us from the past into the future. It takes the past and the future. It also connects the Chol and the Kodesh. And also teaches like Torah. It connects. It shows the connection. There's an overlapping between the two. Some people think that you have to put a mechitza between Kodesh and Chol. It's one time Reb Chaim Sabata, you heard Reb Chaim Sabata, Rosh Yeshiva Ma'al Adumim, one of the Rosh Yeshivas Ma'al Adumim. Reb Chaim Sabata, he wants
some in Yom HaTzimut.
Okay. A bit short, clean shaven, bit, made in Talmud Chacham. Very jolly. amazing author also. And Chaim Sabato, we once had a discussion in our kollel about guys leaving yeshiva and in college, you know, doing very bad in college. Okay, from a spiritual perspective, maybe doing well in the grades, but spiritually doing very bad. And we asked him about it. He said, we the rabbis in the yeshivas were to blame, because what do? Sometimes we give the students the impression that Torah is only in the yeshiva. If you leave the yeshiva, you're out of Torah. And what happens? Our students internalize that. And when they leave yeshiva, they leave Torah. That's what happens. And when they leave the yeshiva, they internalize that we're leaving Torah. Hey, forget about Torah. So anyway, I'm not in a spiritual place. I'm not connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu anymore. What's the difference anyway? I'll do whatever I like. What's the use? That's what my rabbi taught me without even saying it, but really implying that. He said, we're to blame at our times about it. Rosh Yeshiva is the run. There's an influence. Kodesh has an influence, should have an influence on the Chol. Okay. Even though externally, even though the material world looks something so low, okay, so low, so it's a coarse, I don't know, like Megusham, materialistic. We look at the world today. What interests people? Shtiyot. There's an internal power. Shirak b'skira shel hargasha pnimit chada, hadoma lechush hareach. Only if we have very, very fine senses, okay? We don't look just externally at things. We have fine senses. Could we really detect the internal powers that are in the material world? How to derive good things, even things that look externally very bad? What type of, what maybe would be the sense that's the most, the finest sense you need? Chush what? Hareach. It's nothing, you don't see anything. Okay? It just goes directly inside. Okay? Chush hareach. What is this old man holding? Hadassim. You know the Arba meaning, right? Each one has a different characteristic. Hadas doesn't have a taste. There's nothing to eat there. The only thing it has is what? Chush hareach. Chazal say, Chazal Darshan, right? When Yitzchak Avinu wants to bless, he thought it was Esau, but it's really Yaakov. What did he do? Vayarach et reach b'gadav, right? He smells, and he gets the hashra. He gets the what is it like? When you get like an influential, like a spiritual influence, like a inspired. Yeah, you get inspired, right? Inspire, even the word inspire sounds like inspiration. Sounds like even like inhaling something, right? You get an inspiration, like it's something fills you up, like from the inside. Right? So. Yitzchak Avinu, vayach et reach begadav, vayomer reach bni kereach sadeh asher berachu Hashem. It's like a field that Hashem Baruch Hu blessed. Gets inspiration. When you want to get inspiration, you take a deep smell. This end of Shabbat, what do? We don't lose the Ruchaniyut. We have a clash, right? End of Shabbat, all the spirituality goes away, and we boom fall off the cliff into the weekday. What do? Take a hadas, oxygen, right? Why do you do Bissami only once in Shabbat? Because we need some oxygen. You can't fall so fast. You can't go 20,000 leagues under the sea, right? It doesn't go like that, right? You need an oxygen balloon with you. Okay? So, Jules Verne, I don't think your generation doesn't read those books anymore, right? Okay, so also my generation was obsolete. You don't read any books, right? You only watch movies, right? I know that. Okay, so please watch movies about the classics, at least so you know what people are talking about. Anyway.
What? There was a movie.
I'm sure there was. Yeah, probably in the early 60s or something, right, of the previous century. right, okay. So to get all the Westerns and all those. Okay, so... So he says, this Chazal didn't stop raising the story, these hadasim, the chush hareach, the smell. Because we're talking about being inspired, right? And finding the kedusha within every material thing, you have to have a very, very fine sense, okay? Shudva shel neshama nidet mimenu. V'zo hakoach shel pulat hakodesh halachol. It gets you, what happens is when we make every morning hanoten le'yaif koach, right? What does hanoten le'yaif koach? What?
Gives its higher strength.
Right. How does that happen? Is it physical strength? No. Says Rav Kook, if you look in this parish on the Siddur, spiritual strength. Did you ever get to stage? I don't know. You haven't been to the army, but I don't know if you ever went through. I think they had to like put a tremendous physical effort, and you get to a certain stage where you really have no koach left. Do you ever get to stage like that? I don't know. In the army, you have to do that because you have to you really train really hard. There's a certain stage where it's only in your head. You really can't do it anymore. And the only thing that gives you strength is what? It's your mind. I have to do this. I have to do this. And what you're aiming at something. It's the only strength you can have. Hanotene Efkoch, because Rabbi gives us the spiritual strength, even if we're not physically strong. What keeps you going is what? The internal belief, the internal kochot you have. That's much stronger than any physical muscle, any bodybuilding you're going to do. What is the Gemara? What type of person is smelling these hadassim here in the Gemara? The old man, right? A saba. The saba, he doesn't have physical strength. He's a guy who's maybe physically would be a schlepper, right? He'd be walking slowly, clicking along with his stick, eh? Or with a walker. But it's Erev Shabbat. The connection to Shabbat, just remembering, having Shabbat in his mind, he gets the hadassim, he's smelling the hadassim, and it makes him what? What is he doing? He's running. The old man is running. He's giving us a message here. This Chazal, every detail in the story is the Chavana. This old man whose physical strength is low, but his spiritual strength is strong. He has these hadasim that are giving the hadasim of what? Of Shabbat. I won't go into the whole thing because our time's up. But Zachor and Shamor. Shamor is what? Is the Shabbat itself. But Zachor is all the weekdays. We have the Zachor. He asked him, why do you have two and not one? He said, because I have one for Zachor and one for Shamor. Because Shabbat is not only the day of Shabbat that takes me away to this world. I'm not only Torah, it's not only something that puts you in the Me'ara and sit there. I have one Zachor and one Shamor. I have two Adasim. Because Shabbat is only something that inspires my weekdays. It inspires my life. Spirituality takes me anywhere I go. So Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar saw that. Yeah, we can find a way to coordinate with this world. Nothing will burn anymore. We can find a way to live with it. There's a message in this story. There's at least one message of Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Lazar and what happened to them. I think this is a message for life. If we could take this message and really apply it wherever we go, find this kilvat elohim, because we're closest to Hashem in everything we do, in every step you make, every move you make, everything. So, but watching you, no, you have to watch yourselves. Okay, it's good. The songs are good, but just change a few of the words. You don't know what song I'm talking about? It's '80s. Okay, forget it. Yeah, you know, I know. So, yeah, so. Every step you make, every move you make, every breath you take, find Kilvat Elokim. Yeah, I know it's police. Yeah, I know it's police. I can even sing it to you if you want, but not now, okay? Yeah, some other time. Purim, okay. Next year, Shana Bet Purim, okay. For a moment, give me the guitar right now, because you need the guitar, forget it. I'm not going to fight with Ramo, forget it. I'm poor, forget it. Okay. I don't fight with him on a weekday, I don't fight with him on a forum. Okay. Anyway, so we have take Kilvat Elohim everywhere you go. Okay, that is the message. Don't be a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You can be a great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Yeshiva, but make sure after Shana Bet, Shana Gimel, Shana Dal, Shana Hey, whatever many years you do after your kolo, you get smicha, whatever it is. Okay? Yeah, don't laugh. Why not? It's not a joke. What do you think? You guys can't do smicha? You're stupid? You think you can't do it? You can do it. You still want to do it, maybe. Okay. You're going to do it. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't make a living, you can't make a job. I don't know. Quite a few balabatim in this neighborhood. Okay? So, you'll be learning, as long as you'll be learning Torah, okay? Full time, part time, you build your spiritual personality, take it wherever you go. You build your house, your family, your life. And find how to apply it wherever you go. Sam. Okay. Question and we'll finish. Yeah.
I heard once, I don't know if it's part of the story. They went to somewhere else that like Shimon and Moses like took like jobs. And I said like they worked for like the community.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. Could be it's even in the end of Gemara. I didn't prepare the whole Gemara now, I'm sorry. But,
someone mentioned that to me and it's just like it works perfectly
because,
like,
yeah. Sometimes, well, look, sometimes you'll find people who are not fit for that. It could be there are people who are designed to learn all their life, okay, or be like very, very spiritual people, and they personally can't do it, okay? Could be. It's not for them. Just like some of you will be people who can't sit in yeshiva for 10 years. 5 years maybe you can, but 10 years you can't, okay? You can't do it, it's too much. 5 years is enough. But, okay, so doesn't mean that you have to leave that world. So same thing, I can have a certain approach to life, but I can live. I understand the goodness that there is in people living a different type of life. Okay, even if Shimon couldn't do the work himself, you put him in a field to plow. Forget it; it's not for him. He can't do it. Okay, it's not for him. There's no reason to ask him to do it. Okay, there's certain people who can't do it. But at least you have to have appreciation. Okay, I'm talking about having appreciation, understanding the qualities, the great qualities of being able to combine this Bein HaShemashot, the overlapping of the Kodesh and the Chol, and having not only the Shemor of the Shabbat, but also every day. Zachor is not only making Kiddush on Shabbat, but also remembering, the Rambam says, Zachor is mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbat. The Ramban, okay, Moshe ben Nachman says, Zachor is Hashem Kachor, is remembering Shabbat every day of the week. So, both of them are true. We have to take both of these, Zachor and Shemor, as a thing for lifetime. Have a great day.